The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D Majestic, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, you got the buttons ready over there?
Yeah, okay. I hit the wrong one, you know.
Hey, real quick, I hear we have a weight loss challenge here at the network.
We do.
Dustin Sweetelson from Sharp Money.
Yeah.
JVT Jonathan Montobel. It's a, we talked about this yesterday off air, a weight percentage contest. So it's not quite the Wishnev Fezzik battle to the bottoms of south of 200 pounds.
They're making it way more scientific, I believe.
Is it way more scientific? For a lot less stakes, I would imagine, too. Because Wishnev and Fezzik was like 9 grand or something like that. So this, I would imagine, is not that. But it's 375 for Dustin, 300 for JVT, which is a shocker to me. And so it's percentage. And so good for both of them. May they both lose a tremendous percentage of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know all the details on what they settled with it, but yeah, it was something they were talking about doing. I know it's off and running, man. So good luck to both of them.
Fantastic.
I know there's sabotage underway. I've heard the talk of, you know, I'm going to bring in donuts for everybody at work. Stuff like that. You know, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Fezzik, for those who wonder, Fezzik and Wishnev, their contest ended. They had to get, Todd was like 100 pounds heavier or something like that, more than Fezzik, and they had to get it to, it was a contest to get down to like 190 something, I don't know what it was, but if at any point Wishnev got below Fezzik, he won or whatever, and right as he was about to, there was some medical thing and they called it off. But Wishnev had lost over 100 pounds.
It was incredible. It was incredible to watch.
Speaking of whom,
yes,
he will be on the show today. Every once in a while, we roll out Todd. Todd has a background in the finance industry. And every once in a while, there's a big story in that corner of the world. Not really a corner, but in that side of the world. You may remember the Robin Hood GameStop thing from a couple years back. Today, he will talk a little Bitcoin with us, because if you haven't been watching this, a little bit of an explosion. It's a lesson in supply and demand and being able to hold your two thoughts in your head at the same time. And make money, hopefully, in the process. So we'll talk to Todd about that. Maybe he's got some college basketball thoughts as well. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Paul Carr on soccer. Chris Falica, is that how you pronounce it?
Falica, yeah.
Falica from Fox Sports. Going to talk soccer with us. He's got some Champions League thoughts.
New guy we're trying out.
New guy. Yeah, yep. New guy. College hoops. And going to get his thoughts on the 14-team playoff now in college football that they're batting around.
Chris got a lot for us today. I got notes on Champions League. I got notes on horse races today.
So
we got all kinds of things with Chris.
It's a pandemic throwback.
Well,
Danny Burke and I, who was producer number 6, Danny Burke. We remember one day during the pandemic, we had 3 horse racing segments.
Yeah.
It wasn't Triple Crown week or anything. It was just like, hey, there's a horse racing.
UFC on every other
somewhere.
Night.
Yeah.
Them trying to play golf.
Can we talk
about table tennis?
Oh, we didn't do any table tennis.
I had one day of Russian table tennis betting, and then I sunsetted my career.
Documented 2-0.
It was like 3-2, something like that.
By the way, yesterday we had the +334 dog on Katie Volinets. She was up 6-4, 5-4 on her racket, 3 points away from winning it.
No, don't say it.
No, didn't happen.
She lost or walk?
She lost.
Oh
yeah, no, she lost fair and square.
Okay.
By the way, she also didn't choke it.
That still sucks. Obviously.
Yeah, it still sucks. I'd rather have lost it outright than have gotten a walkover.
I thought that's where you were going at first.
I would have lost my mind.
Brutal. Yeah.
I'd have lost my mind. People are like, did she choke it? She didn't really choke it. Freaking Collins figured it out right in the nick of time. She was getting killed on this outside slider serve, and then she figured it out. So we didn't get home on that. I have a tennis pick coming up later on the show. Kelly's got some plays. I want to start with Caleb Williams real quick in case you missed this. It's very normal for guys at the top of the draft to opt out of athletic activities. For instance, Drake May, Jaden Williams, they're not throwing. Caleb Williams is not throwing at the combine, pardon me, because there's nothing really to gain for those guys. What Caleb Williams has decided to do something a little different, though, he has decided to opt out of all medical examinations, which is kind of unheard of. Mm-hmm. And so obviously what that does is it sparks lots of speculation. Like, what is he hiding from? At the same time, he has said the presumptive number one pick in the draft, the upcoming NFL draft. He has said that he will be willing, right? He's going to do his own pro day where he'll throw. He's willing to do a medical exam with any team that requests it.
Yeah.
A la carte.
Right.
So there's that too.
Which seems to be what we're hearing. He's either meeting with the media right now or just got done meeting with them. He was doing a press conference this morning from the combine where he was clearing some of this stuff up. Yeah.
Well, he's scheduled to meet with the Bears, Commanders, Raiders, Vikings, Falcons, Pats, Jets, and Giants at the combine. Notably. Yeah, those teams notably. And the medical exams do reveal some stuff here earlier in this one, in this very combine. Kool-Aid McKinstry was found to have a fracture in his foot. So it's not like they're, you know, it's not like it's a...
Right. Like stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Sometimes you find things that you didn't know you had. But, you know, I don't know. In the end, the question is this a thing or is it not a thing? It's probably not a thing. He probably just is bored by it.
Yeah.
He's probably just like, I don't want to go through the tedium of it.
Yeah, it's just odd because we never see this.
We never see this.
But
because
it is,
we're betting on stuff, it makes us go nuts. Yeah,
and like you said, it makes us all ask questions, especially those of us in the media. Like, it makes us all ask questions. In the end, is it really anything? I think as of right now, it looks like no, but... It's just still weird to hear, man. It's still weird to hear.
Doing your medical exams.
Right, yeah.
This is a thing. Victor Wembanyama last night.
Ooh, what a game.
Man. 28 and 13. Also 7 assists. 28 points, 13 boards, 7 assists. 5 blocks, 2 steals against 2 turnovers in a head-to-head with Chet Holmgren. Katie bar the door on rookie of the year. Yes.
Yeah, that's done.
I think Katie bar the door.
If that was on national TV last night, absolutely 100%. This is done.
Yeah.
Over Wemby's award. I'll take it down to 99.2% chance that he wins.
99.2.
Since it wasn't on national TV,
you ran that
through. I don't really know how many Thunder Spurs matchups over the next few years aren't going to be on national TV. So those of you with League Pass, I guess enjoy while you can. I watched so much of that game last night, Gil. Over the past 2 nights, my enthusiasm for the NBA has just keeps going up, man.
I'm telling you,
off the screen here, but you're taught, like, if you watch LeBron, what was it, for the final 18 minutes of that game against the Clippers, go, give me Kawhi, I'm guarding him every time down the court, which you just don't see that often in the NBA regular season these days. You can hate on it, you can love it, it is what it is. They design teams around these guys so they don't have to do this, right?
LeBron, by the way, small parenthetical aside, 31 points back-to-back last night in the Lakers win over the Wizards in overtime, where AD had 40 and 15.
But LeBron and Kawhi going at it the other night, Gil, and then last night, if you watch that game, Wembanyama and Chet going at each other, I mean, not to downplay Chet, because he had a great game too. He probably did. He probably cared about this a little too much. There was a few times in the game where it was like, all right, Chet, like, pass the ball, bro. Like, I know you got Wemby on you and you're trying to go one-on-one with him, but maybe pass the ball, let this offense work.
Okay, but here's what I want to say, because I said this briefly the other day and we kind of like, hey, you, haha, but I'm like only half kidding. Wembanyama is also the defensive player of the year. Literally.
He's an all-NBA player.
He's the defensive player of the year. The award is the defensive player of the year. But everybody apparently has gotten together on groupthink, and they've decided that this is a team award, and that Rudy Gobert, because he's on the best defense by far and is the best defensive player on the best defensive team, he's going to win defensive player of the year. And God forbid we give Wemby 2 awards in 1 year. So I'm just saying, if we're going to apply this logic to other awards, again, MVP should be decided by who ends up with the number one seed, Jokic versus Shea, right? Because if we're going to make these team awards, let's be consistent about this. Your most improved, Tyrese Maxey, and we'll get to Joel Embiid here in a minute, but by the time he gets back, they're going to lose some games, they're going to fall in the standings. I would think by that same logic, Jalen Williams and I don't know, maybe even Jonathan Kuminga, more of a most improved player than Tyrese Maxey or certainly Kobe White. Where's the Kobe White stuff coming from? Stop it with this.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even know you were that far into the most improved.
Known for anything, it's most improved player deep dives.
I do agree with you. I mean, it is Kuminga. It is Kuminga I'm probably most scared of, but the Jalen Williams thing is that's why I asked Drew the other day, over under 1.5 awards this team is winning, because you can easily make a case for Jalen Williams winning that.
But I'm just saying, we divorce ourselves from the team for some of these,
yeah,
and then arbitrarily decide we're not going to divorce ourselves from the team in others.
I hear you, and it's annoying, but you know there's a track, right? Like, there's a history with these. It's just, you can't. What Wemby's doing is awesome on the defensive end. I am with the people that say you can't give an award to a guy with the defense that's in the bottom five in the NBA.
Sure you could.
I will go nuts, Gil, if he doesn't make all NBA defensive team.
Oh, stop.
You know,
that.
Like that all go nuts about.
Embiid spoke to the media Thursday, getting back to Joel Embiid. This might have been the biggest news in the NBA yesterday. For the first time, he spoke to the media since he suffered a knee injury a month ago. Said he hopes he'll be able to return sometime before the regular season is over. Quote, that's the plan. He practiced yesterday ahead of the game against the Hornets tonight. He said he continued, obviously, everything has to go right as far as getting healthy and being as close as I'm supposed to be. But yeah, that's the plan. And he said it in the Joel Embiid voice. So, does that trigger anything for you on the Sixers? Does that make you excited?
It brings my eyes back to him a little bit more. Yeah. They've been drifting away the past couple weeks. I mean, as soon as he got hurt, I think every NBA bettor's reaction was, okay, well, let's see what happens here. This price might drift, and if he comes back, it might be worth a bet. I think I started to think that wasn't going to be a reality. Now it sounds like it's closer to being one.
Hi. We'll talk some college hoops. We'll talk again with Paul Carr on the Premier League here coming up. And some NFL awards, including Offensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. Never too early for those. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas, still to come this hour. We will hear from Jason Weingarten and Todd Wishnev. Todd Wishnev will join us. What a treat to talk Bitcoin. I don't know if you've been following this, but a lot of sports bettors in our DNA is, like to make money. And there's a lot of crossover between this and folks who evangelize things like Bitcoin. This is not necessarily that. We're not giving out financial advice. We're not even promoting that. But we are talking about a moment in time in the markets where someone like Todd, 2 weeks ago, he texted me out of the blue when I was on vacation. He's like, oh, we got to talk about what's happening right here. And so if you know the game and you're smart enough to see things happen in advance, which Todd is, it's just a great sort of case study of supply and demand and how holding two thoughts in your heads at the same time can actually make you money, even if you're not a believer. So we'll get into that. I want to, before we bring in Chris here, Chris Velika, this tweet will segue nicely into Chris, because I think game recognized game here on some of this. But Corbin writes in, we get tweets at Beating the Book. He said, since the first time I've heard you tell the $1 million survivor pool getting shut down story, not sure if you can go into it too much, but I've been curious to how the hell the winner would go about things. Where did they tell people they got it from? Bank, IRS, so curious. Oh, that was a massive, I'm sure it was a massive problem for whoever won it. I didn't win it. But we're talking like 20 years ago for some of this stuff. So this is like ancient history stuff. And I remember, so the college basketball survivor won, and there was an NFL survivor one. That was north of DC where it started. I was also involved in a bracketology one that I think started north of DC but ended up in Florida. And yes, to your point, Corbin, what inevitably happened with some of these, if they weren't shut down by the feds, if they were shut down in other ways beforehand, because most weren't shut down that way, but the person would just disappear into thin air at some point. And that was always the risk you ran. And some of these, you know, like the rake became like excessive. It's like, let me get this straight. If I meet 500 other people, you're still taking like 30% of the, you know, it was like ridiculous. So you had to really, but it was the wild, wild west back then. And it was so much fun. So much fun. Chris Felica joins us. He doesn't know anything about any of this, do you, Chris?
No. can I throw one more in there?
Yes, please.
I had the Jody pool on Staten Island, where it's basically, it was $10 an entry, and you just picked the final four, the winner, and the total points in the title game is usually what it came down to. So you used to just be able to wheel a bunch of teams with certain. I got a group of my friends, actually, the year Syracuse won the title, what, 2003 that would have been. They had Syracuse in 151, and they wound up splitting a boatload of money. But basically, anybody who's alive on Sunday after the Final Four Saturday, they get together at this spot, and they start cutting deals based on, on total. So, yeah, the Jody pool in Staten Island was another great one before the mean Fed stepped in.
Chris, you look great. Is that a tan from vacation? Are you losing weight? What's happening with you?
Both.
Nice.
Both. Yeah. 10 days in Turks and Caicos will do that to you, where you just kind of, you wander from the pool to the beach and rinse, wash, and repeat for 10 days. We missed you and fashion stylist Deborah Solness.
Yeah, we
couldn't join us.
We decided not to crash the Felica family vacation this year. We're like, let's them be this year. Maybe next year we'll go ahead. All right, let me start with, before we get to your actual bets, you're obviously known for college football above all, which is not necessarily how your handicapping tier would go necessarily, because I know horse racing for you is a number one, but 14-team playoff now being bantied about. We'll get to the 12, and then it looks like we're going to get to the 14. I saw our buddy Futak tweet out, the casualty of going from 12 to 14 will be the conference championship games mattering less. Do you agree with that, or how do you view that?
Everything about the regular season matters less. If you're expanding the playoff and putting more and more teams, your margin for error. And I even said it at the end of the season this year, like when we had the great Ohio State Michigan game, you were not going to get an Ohio State Michigan game like that ever again, because the stakes are not going to be that high. So making the pool bigger doesn't necessarily make it better. And they're going to screw it up with the hoops tournament as well. But my thing with going to 14 too is like they're talking about automatically giving the SEC champ and the Big Ten champ a bye, which is weird. Assigning three spots to certain how do you know year in and year out which conference is better? Like they're probably going to be years where give the Big 12 credit for keeping the league together, but they're probably going to be years where the champ of the Big 12 is probably going to be, would be like 16th, 17th in the rankings, because look, the strength of that league is not great. So yeah, am I going to watch it? Am I going to love it? Am I going to bet on it? I shouldn't say I'm going to love it, but I'll watch it. I'll bet on it. I'll be a part of it. Yes. But I just can't see like who at the end of the year this year was sitting there. Hey, you know what? Whoever was ranked 14th in the AP poll, the college football, they really, really deserve the chance of playing for the national championship.
You're like, again, I miss the old college football where they left out an undefeated FSU. That's the college football I miss.
Here we go.
No, I'm just saying. I completely understand it, and it's I do sense in you a nostalgia for the old way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying we necessarily need to go back to the old system with the bowls where nobody was playing each other and you had the conference tie-ins for all the bowls, but it should be hard. You should have to have a great season to get into the playoff. It should be hard to get in. It shouldn't just be let team X in who's not 8-4 in the Big 12 or whatever, or 8-4 in the SEC. So they're finding every possible way to make this a lot more difficult than they need.
And I should clarify, I think what Futak meant was, obviously expanding it to 12 makes the regular season that much less important each game, but the 12 to 14 effectively kills off almost like the next layer. Let's get to all your plays. Let's start with soccer. You have some Champions League plays for us, sir.
No Champions League play, but I do have a play.
Oh, I thought you had a future. Okay, my bad.
Oh, no. Did I have a future? Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. You're right. I'm sorry. I played Manchester City to win the Champions. If you look at the teams that are left in the pool here, they're just simply better than everyone. And Paul touched on it before. Since getting Haaland back and since getting De Bruyne back, they've been absolutely scoring goals and dominating the team that they have played in the Prem. Inter Milan, who you see there at 10-1, that's who they beat in the final last year. They would beat them again. Bayern Munich is not having the same type of year. Arsenal, we'll see how they wind up playing them in the Prem. Real Madrid had some injuries right now with Bellingham, and they're not necessarily the same team that they've been. I think Man City at +175 is a great bet there to finally repeat as a Champions League winners. They finally got Brooke Schneid last year, and I think they'll repeat this year. But the one play that I did have for tomorrow, I'm sorry, I forgot about, was Everton and West Ham. I played under 2.5 in that game. If you look at Everton, they got a break this past week with the financial fair play rules. They got some points back, so they are no longer right on the relegation zone. But they don't score goals at all. They have the fewest average goals per match scored in the Prem this year. So under 2.5 is the way to go. I think they're there now in a situation where let's just manage to get a point or two. Maybe they win this match 1-0 against a West Ham team who isn't necessarily great on the road in scoring goals either. So I can see this being like a 1-0 Everton type win.
All right, let's rapid fire the rest. College hoops, what do you got?
I've sent this out there this past week. I did a little video for the Superbook on Auburn. That was actually the day of the that great Tennessee game where they wound up losing. I think it was by 8. But if you look at Auburn, I think there's a good discrepancy between where you see them in the polls, where you see them in KenPom, and some of the other metrics. They play good defense. They get good looks. I think the number one 2-point defense in the country. I think they are. I don't necessarily take a ton of threes, but they can hit them like they did last Saturday at Georgia. Bruce Pearl's taken a team to the Final Four, and this is not a team the way they play that if you're a number one or a number two seed, you're going to want to see them lined up against you in the Sweet 16. So, like right now, I think they're projected on that 3-4 line. Like that is a dangerous. Dangerous opponent for a 1 or a 2 seed in the Sweet 16. So Auburn, seen them anywhere north of 20-1 or so to win the title. So I think Auburn is a good bet. I know there's a lot of Kentucky out there as well, and we've seen what Kentucky can do scoring the ball. To quote Jay Billis there, the last couple of weeks they've been great. But again, will their defense let them down? This feels like a team that's either gonna losing the first round or make a really good play.
You're right. There's a lot of Kentucky out there, and Jay Billis does get credit for scoring the ball that everybody else now parrots. All right, last thing, 30 seconds. Horsies, what do you got?
Big week of Kentucky Derby prep this week. They got the Gotham and you got the Fountain of Youth. The long shot I liked in the Fountain of Youth did wind up scratching Merritt. So I'm going to land on Locked, who's probably going to be the second choice in this race. Did was the beaten favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I think drawing outside in the short field with a good bit of pace to help set up his closing kick will benefit him. So Locked is my choice in the Fountain of Youth. And then the Gotham, I like the number 3 horse, Deterministic, for Christophe Clément, who's a trainer. If you're familiar with horse racing, he doesn't put a lot of horses on the Triple Crown trail. And for Deterministic, who I remember having at Saratoga last year, broke maiden in unbelievable form, hasn't been seen since, been working out great. For Clément to put this horse in this race, in this spot, makes me think this horse is live. So the 3 horse, Deterministic at 9-2 on the morning line.
The svelte and tan Chris Velika from Fox Sports, Bear Bets Pod. Bear Bets Pod. Check it out. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You got it, Gil. Have a great weekend.
Chris Velika looking good. We'll come back. Our bets for the day, tennis and the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jamie Samuel, I sent you tweets before, played at JMU when your friend was at UVA. Oh, okay. Players often used to call 6-love the curse of the bagel. Yes, I know about this. Because often you don't know whether you're playing well or he just is playing terribly. The second set often is a life preserver for him. There's a bit of a superstition about that in tennis. better to breadstick someone than to bagel them. You familiar with that one, Kelly? Better to let them have a game than to just bagel them because bad things are sure to ensue.
Mm, okay.
This one is from Commands Pop Pop. Oh, he's not happy. I want to share with you an infuriating situation with Caesars this morning. I had a significant wager on Bublik plus 2.5 games against Rublev. Score line was 6-7, 7-6, 6-5 when Rublev retired. He goes on to say, I know this is where it's going. He goes, seeing where I was in a no-lose situation with the 2.5 games, do house rules still apply? I tried to explain that to the employee on chat, but only got disconnected. Man. Thanks for the input. Love the show. I think they do. And that is that's a brutal quirk to a brutal. I mean, that's two levels of brutality.
Yeah,
because
you won.
You can't win. You can't lose. Rather,
can't lose. You
can't
won.
Lose.
You
won.
Won.
Duh, it's tough.
You won everything except for the match just being called final.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I love him like a brother. He is an expert in so many things in life, including weight loss, which has some nice tie-in to our weight loss challenge going on between JVT and Dustin Sweetelson here at the network. He's also the in-house financial guru of a numbers game, and you know him from the Megapod, the star of the Beating the Book Megapod. It's Todd Wishnev, everybody, college basketball in-game maniac as well. How you doing, man?
Hi, expert failure expert. I would say that's more likely as far as weight loss. I'm definitely good at failing. Well,
let's talk about the weight loss. No human being on earth that I know. I didn't know Luther Vandross personally, but no human being I know has lost 100 pounds and gained it back more than you, which obviously you know is not a good thing. But I'm just saying you have some experience in this department. What advice would you give to JVT, who weighed in at 300 pounds, Dustin Sweetelson, who weighed in at 375. They are doing it as a percentage of weight. There you see it on your screen, 300.7 versus 376.1. Any words of advice from the expert himself?
I mean, they have to just eat less. And the way to eat less is eat protein and, you know, eat at certain times and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not rocket science how to lose weight. The problem is once you lose it, it's very difficult to keep it off. Only 2% of people who lose a significant amount of weight ever keep it off. And that's because your body is fighting against you to go back to fat, along with all your psychological deficiencies for why you got in trouble in the first place.
He's getting into a different category. Times matter. Last thing on this, you said times of day matter to you.
I mean, for me, it was always, I used to have to make rules because otherwise I'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to have my calories earlier. You know what I mean? If I didn't, you know, adhere to really, really strict rules of what time I could eat, I would have used up all my calories too early in the day.
Okay. Let's get into Bitcoin. A couple weeks ago, I'm on vacation. I get a text from Todd. By the way, Fezzik just reminded you, get your brackets in before the tournament this year. That's a whole nother story with Todd, where he almost, yeah, left $35,000 on the table at DraftKings contest last year. Okay. And he will be, along with Will Hill, on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod March Madness show. Bitcoin, you sent me a text, and I want to just let's start at the beginning and explain this to us like we're two-year-olds. Bitcoin is at $61,400-plus as we speak right now. But you sent me a text a couple weeks ago where you said, hey, this is going on. It's about to spike, and here's why. And this is a great lesson in supply and demand. It's a great lesson in believing something macro, but also being able to exploit it as well, even though you may not believe in the underpinnings of something. Can you explain what your text was about when you did 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole debate between the Bitcoin is a complete scam and the other people are Bitcoin is my religion because of the sound money and blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
Blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
You can go on and on with the debate all you want. I'm not interested in what you have to say, nor am I interested in your opinion, or am I interested in any of that. It doesn't matter who's right about that. What all I'm saying now is we're in kind of what I would call the do you remember the cyber dating thing? Remember when dating first started on the internet and people were like, oh, that's creepy. Internet, you're going to date on the internet? What are you, crazy? I remember it when it was like insane to think you could go online on a dating site to date someone. Now that's all how anybody meets anybody, right? They all meet on the dating sites, right? But in the beginning, it was considered crazy and creepy. Okay, now we go over here to Bitcoin. Bitcoin, whether you believe in all the religion of Bitcoin or you think it's a complete scam of Bitcoin, that doesn't matter. What all I'm saying now is ETFs are here. What an ETF is, an exchange-traded fund. It changes people's ability to get exposed to Bitcoin from going through this entire hassle with exchanges that might be fraudulent, with all how you're going to store it, all kind of nonsense that you had to do. Now, you don't have to worry about that at all. You just go on your Fidelity account or you go on your Schwab account and you click ETF buy. Bingo. Now you're exposed to Bitcoin. That is a sea change in the world, okay? Because now it is going to allow the regular person to be invested in Bitcoin. And because these Wall Street ETFs are out there, it now takes the risk of Bitcoin going to zero way, way down, because now the people who own the politicians will not allow that. When I say the people who own the politicians, Wall Street, I'm sure they own plenty of senators. Okay, and they're not going to allow Bitcoin to go to zero when they have the new BlackRock ETF and the new Fidelity ETF and all the other nonsense.
Let me just interject. But besides the politics part of that, or whatever sidebar that is, explain again. These funds now have exposure to Bitcoin.
Okay, so now you have ETFs out there. What an ETF is, you can go research that on your own. The point is, the ETFs are designed to mimic the Bitcoin market, which means they have to buy Bitcoin if you buy them. So every day now, for this started about 2 months ago, and most recently in the last couple of weeks, the ETFs are buying 9,000 Bitcoin a day, and only 900 new Bitcoin are being created from the mining every day. Bitcoin is a finite asset. If all the registered investment advisors in the world who run $8 trillion decide to put 2% of their clients' money in, the Bitcoin market will not be able to handle it. It's not big enough. The price will have to rise. There's just not enough going on around. And in 2 months, you have something called the halving, and you can go research what that means. Is the bottom line is it becomes double as hard to mine a Bitcoin in 2 months as it is now. So you're going to see now this huge run-up. This is my hypothesis. Doesn't mean I'm right. You're probably going to see a huge run-up now in Bitcoin. And by the way, no one's even talking about it. Kelly just said to me, oh, I didn't even realize Bitcoin went up, right?
Yeah.
Regular people aren't even talking about this yet. Once this gets to 100,000 or whatever, and it's on the cover of whatever, and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are talking about it every day, who knows where this thing can go, especially because now the ease of getting in with ETFs is so different than anything ever happened. And every time somebody clicks that ETF button, that ETF, exchange traded fund, has to go out and buy more Bitcoin. But there's not enough Bitcoin to go around. 70% of it has not moved in 3 years. That's all the religious Bitcoiners saying, I'm keeping my Bitcoin until forever, and you can pry it out of my dead hands.
Wait, now, Todd, is there the ease of getting out of it now, though? Because that was the one that was always my concern.
Yes,
before.
If you're buying an ETF, it trades like a stock.
Yeah.
So I bought some yesterday. You can buy it. You can trade it. You don't even have to, play it.
So the art, in other words, the macro of this is, regardless of where you fall on the religion of this, the point, it's just a supply and demand thing. Todd saw this 2 weeks ago. By the way, it's gone nothing but up since then. He was all over it. And he made me a lot of money because for me, the lock was when Todd said, you know what? I'm not going to get involved. And Todd Wishnev is 5 bajillion and 0 lifetime when he has a prediction but doesn't get involved.
It'll probably go down now.
But anyway, I hope the tie-in is that sports bettors, there's a bleed over into this kind of thing. And so we wanted to sort of explain it to folks because there's been a lot of buzz online about it. And so Todd, as always, does a great job of explaining everything. Last thing, 10 seconds. UConn is the team to beat in college basketball, yes or no?
I mean, I hope so. Last year I had them 22-1. This year I have them 11-1. Those are the only futures that I bet. So I hope so.
Okay. Todd, thank you for the explanation, man. That's great. I appreciate that.
Okay. I mean, obviously I didn't do, you could explain a lot more on this, but go do your own research. You know, there's the pros and the cons out there.
We
the
got,
point is
Todd, we gotta go.
Online dating, right? Yeah. Remember, online dating was for weirdos.
Bye, Todd.